I want you to turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, there you're going to find a familiar portion of scripture, a familiar story. It's a story of, in particular, of Samson. And I'm probably going to preach it in a little bit different way than maybe you've heard it this morning. And I know the hours, time is a little bit away from us. Not away from us, but, we're a little bit late getting started. But don't worry, I'm not going to hold you too long. I don't hold you past 2 o'clock anyway. No, I won't be that long. As you turn in your Bibles to Judges 15, I want to share with you something before we read. I want to share with you how that we are people of destiny, and I think you can go ahead, Dave. We're people of destiny. You've heard me preach that, you've heard other people preach that, but destiny awaits us. Samson was a man of destiny in spite of all of his failures. He was still a man of destiny. Destiny simply means that we're people of purpose. God has a purpose for every single one of us. In Judges 13, we saw that Manoah's wife is barren. She's not supposed to be able to have children, but like some other instances in the Bible, it's divine intervention, and a barren woman gives birth to a very unique son, the son Samson. The son Samson, who will be under a Nazirite vow, and it is destined for him to be the rescuer of God's people, the Israelites, even though Samson has his issues and he has his difficulties. And even the miracle that I'm going to preach to you about this morning, Samson has difficulties. You and I, Voice of Praise Worship Center as a church, we're here for a reason. Not just in generalities. We could say, oh, we're all here for a reason. But I believe there's specifics why we're here. This church is here because there is a county and there is a community all around us that even though that everybody you meet, if you ask them about their relationship with the Lord, they'll say, oh, I'm a believer or I go to church or something like that. There's the majority of people, majority mean more than 50% of the people in this community do not have a born again relationship with Jesus Christ. So this church has a purpose and it has a reason and for being here, and you're part of that reason being part of this church. And you and I have personal witness, personal destinies to fulfill as well. Samson was not always the model hero. Samson struggled with people having authority over him. Samson struggled with his image and his strength. He was a bit egotistical in some ways. Samson struggled with willful disobedience. He partook of strong drink. He hung out in the vineyards. He touched carcasses and parts of dead animals and he had affairs with loose women. But in spite of that, and in spite of your failures, in spite of my failures, and I'm not preaching some cheap grace because I despise cheap grace. Listen, the more you sin, don't be like the church was when Paul preached to them and said, well, the more sin I have, the more grace I have. That's not what God intends. That's cheap grace. But understand this, we are all consumed, we all have failures, and we all have fallacies in our life. And it's for us to strive to overcome those things through the consecrating and through the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ. But we still deal with those shortcomings. We still deal with those failures. Paul said, the things that I know I should do, he said, I don't do, but I tend to do the things that I know I shouldn't do. We struggle. All of us do. But destiny waits us in spite of our failures. And we see the will of God as we read there in like I think chapters 13 and 14, we see the will of God begin to unfold with Samson as Samson begins to burn the fields of the Philistines, and then the Philistines end up, because of that, murdering Samson's estranged wife and her dad. And as a result of that, many, as a result of that, of killing those Philistines, they are hating Samson. But Samson, if you read there, he goes and finds him a lodging in a cave in the rocks. That actually means there, if you dissect that in biblical terms, what it means is Samson went and found lodging in the cleft of the rock. And you and I could also find safety in the cleft of the rock. But then, go ahead to that next slide. Let's read the text there. Judges 15. They, which was the 3,000 men of Judah, said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me." "Agreed," they answered. "We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and they led him up from the rock. Go ahead. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, Samson. The ropes on his arm became like charred flax, just burnt rope, and the bindings dropped from his hands. And then, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, Samson grabbed it and he struck down 1,000 men. Go on ahead with the slide, sir. Then Samson said, this is actually a song that Samson sung. "With a jawbone, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. And with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men." Short song, but it was a good one. And verse 17, "And when he finished speaking or singing his song, he threw away the jawbone." Roll on, Dave. I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes, knowing when to release the jawbone. Knowing when to release the jawbone. You see, when we read this scripture here, we find that the jawbone was new, if you refer back to the King James Version. It was new, and it was part of a dead carcass. And so Samson, in spite of his vow, picked up a part of a dead carcass, but it was a new jawbone. There's prophetic significance in this jawbone being new, because when we study out the Old Testament, the Arabic language, it came from a word chadhath, meaning freshness. In the New Testament, it's kainos, meaning freshness or newly made. Well, if you will gather with me today, what I'm saying to you is that Samson fought in a new way with a new method that he had never used before. He took newness. He had fought his battles. He had killed lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But now Samson was taking on a new way to defeat the enemy that was before him. All of these Philistines, at least 1,000 that we know of, were coming upon him, and he picks up, even though he breaks his vow, he picks up that jawbone. That jawbone was new. It had never been used, and maybe it had never been done before, but it brought a miraculous miracle. Let me tell you, the jawbone itself was not the provision of the miracle, but the miracle was, in reality, was God's anointing that came upon Samson, but he utilized it, or he let it manifest in a way that had never been done before. Roll on in the slide, please. So he had a new fight, he had a new weapon, and it brought him a new victory. Move ahead. But here's our problem. You and I have a tendency to hold on to things. If we didn't have a tendency to hold on to things, there wouldn't be these reality shows on TV about these guys that drive from place to place and buy up somebody's junk. If there wasn't a reality to hold on to things, Elder Mike Dillo and I myself would not have had a 3-ton dumpster, and Rick Black helped and several other people helped, and we would have not filled up a 3-ton dumpster and hauled off 5 pickup loads and 2 trailer loads of refuge when I got here to this church. We tend to hold on to things. That's why you have stacks of Cool Whip, Bird's Eye Cool Whip bowls on the end of your counter. Can somebody testify with an amen? That's why you have junk lawnmowers stuck under your building or under your front porch that haven't run in the last 13 years, but you don't want to get rid of them because someday you figure you might need them, or that was a good lawnmower and you just hate to get rid of it even though it's blew up. Don't say nothing about geos. Okay? But we have a tendency to hold on to things. Now, if I would have been Samson, and I don't have anything, I really wanted to find me a jawbone, but I couldn't find one. So I need something. Hand me something. Hand me your Bible there or something. That's good. Sarah Vanna. Vanna Taylor. If I had picked up a pink jawbone and I'd already slew 1,000 Philistines, what I would have done is I would have stuffed that thing down in a holster and I'd have had it on my side. I probably wouldn't done a concealed carry. I'd probably had that thing out open, you know, where everybody could see it. See my jawbone hanging out because I had done killed 1,000 Philistines and done stacked them up and then wrote a song about it that made it to the top 10 in national charts. I got it all down. It's done crossed over into pop. It's done crossed over into country. It even made it into bluegrass and it made it into praise and worship. Man, I've done good. And I'm gonna put my jawbone in my holster so everybody can see it. And then everybody that walks by me is going to look like, ooh, there's the jawbone. They don't know his name, but that's the guy with the jawbone. You know, and he's showing the jawbone up because I've had success with the jawbone and I'm just waiting for the next 1,000 Philistines to come up and ha-ta! And pull out my jawbone. And we have a tendency to hold on to things. I would have held on to the jawbone if I was Samson. I would have used it. I would have used it, if nothing else, for intimidation against the enemy if it would. Or, well, maybe if I decided not to carry it, maybe I would have found me a trophy case somewhere, and I would have hired one of you guys who were telling me. It came over to see me, I'd say, oh, by the way, have you heard about my jawbone? You know, I would have showed my jawbone off. You know, because it did me good. It did me well. It brought great victory. Or perhaps I would have took a selfie of it with me and the jawbone together, took a selfie of it, and it ends up being my profile picture on Facebook. That's the real stuff right there. Yeah, but we have a tendency to retain and to hold on to things, but when all the time we must realize that maybe that's not what God's wanting us to do. Go ahead, Dave. Because what Samson had to realize, what he did realize, and what Samson actually did, give me the jawbone back, I'm sorry, give me the jawbone back. Because what Samson actually did is he realized the jawbone was good for that battle. The jawbone was good for that season. The jawbone took, listen to me, this didn't happen in 15 minutes, okay? He didn't wipe out 1,000 guys in 15 minutes. It's like the magical jawbone where he went, whoo, and all of them just fell. No, he went to battle. He warred with 1,000 men. This took some time, and it took a season. But now Samson realizes that season is past. And Samson, according to the scripture we read, Samson let go of the jawbone. He let go of it. Oh, that really messes with us Pentecostals. You know what? That really messes with our mind. Pastor, you saying we let go of the Holy Ghost? No, Pastor, I ain't saying we let go of the Holy Ghost. Are you saying we let go of the power of God? No, I ain't saying that either. I'm not saying anything like that. But I want you to know, once that jawbone had been, you know, I used to be in the car business. A lot of y'all know that. I used to have a little shop, and I ran a car business, and I bought car parts from a place in Christiansburg, Virginia called AG's Auto, AG's Used Parts. AG's motto, they may still have it, but AG's motto used to be, all cars run on used parts. Because once you start it up and you move it, everything on that car has become used. Once Samson used that jawbone, it was no longer new. Are you with me? Whatever you got for Christmas, whatever somebody gave you, my wife gave me some new shoes. I don't have them on this morning, but she gave me some new shoes, gave me 2 pair of new shoes. I wore one pair the other day. You know what? They're not new any longer because I've worn them. Once Samson used that jawbone, once he operated in that anointing, it was no longer a new anointing. It lasted for the season that it was meant to last in. He sang a song of victory. He probably never forgot that victory, but he did not idolize the jawbone. In fact, he threw the jawbone down. And you know what we struggle with oftentimes as believers, as Christians? What happens with us is that we sometimes are reluctant to release something because it served us well. He threw the jawbone aside, and just as the jawbone had decided for anointings, there are future anointings, and every one of those anointings will be fresh when it occurs in our life and in our church. Go ahead. So we have to know when to release the jawbone. We have to know that. First thing that has to occur. You can go ahead to the next slide. Go ahead to the next one. The first thing we need to realize is that yesterday's power is not sufficient for tomorrow's battles. Listen. I'm older than some of you, but I'm not as old as some of you. That's profound, isn't it? I'm older than some of you, but I'm not as old as some of you. I've seen a lot happen in church. I've seen a lot occur in church. I've seen a lot of fogey stuff, but I've seen more that is the real power of God moving and working, okay? But here's the thing about it. Yesterday's power is not sufficient for tomorrow's battle. Now understand with me, I'm not talking about the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, but yet what I'm referring to and what I'm speaking to is the methodologies whereby that the Holy Spirit works. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't change on Samson. The Holy Spirit is the same, but he goes from fighting with his bare hands to fighting with a jawbone, and then we're going to see he goes to another anointing here in just a moment before we finish up. And understand this, because we are hoarders, and we like to hoard stuff up, and we don't like to change. And the older you, listen, so I've read that once you get past 50, your mind begins to change. Our minds begin to change once we get past 50, and we tend to become people that hoard up stuff and want stuff. Listen, you want to know why that Mustang is making, Ford's making the Mustangs look like the old Mustangs? Because sentimentalism is the strongest emotion that happens in our life after 50 years old. You want to know why they make them purple Chargers? Because they know they don't be people like Nathan that's going to want to go out and buy one because he may have had a purple Charger when he was younger. if you didn't have one, he liked it somewhere. You know why they make all this retro stuff? Let me go in Cracker Barrel. Go in Cracker Barrel. You know why you go in there and you buy the same Hershey bar that every other store's got, but you buy it because they put the old fashioned looking wrapper on it? It's because it's sentimentalism. And we become sentimental in our worship of the Lord, and we become sentimental in the operations of our church, and we want to hold on to the jawbone with a grip until our fingers have turned white or purple, and we don't want to let it go. But we must realize yesterday's power, yesterday's methodology is not sufficient for tomorrow's battle. Because I mentioned about 18 years ago, I mentioned about Y2K. Let me tell you something. The church has taken a dramatic change since the year 2000. Not only has the church taken a dramatic change, but the world has taken a dramatic change. Not only has the world taken a dramatic change, but the United States of America, which is where we live, by the way, has taken on a dramatic change since the year 2000. Not only has the United States of America taken on a change, but the county of Mercer and the state of West Virginia and the state of Virginia taken on change since the year 2000. And yes, this old-time power is still great, and the power, old-time power is still working and moving. But understand this, things are different now. Do you realize that until, I think it was around 1996, how many of y'all in here still got 8-track tapes? Lord have mercy, you bunch of old fogies. I got 8-track tapes. I just don't have anything to play them in. How many of y'all still got cassette tapes? Yeah. Oh, look at that. Don't tell Dave, but I threw away 2 cases of them up there from upstairs the other day. I thought, what in the world? How many of y'all still got CDs? I still got CDs in my car. How many of y'all realize now if you go into Best Buy or you go into Walmart or you go into Target or wherever you shop at, how many of y'all realize there used to be these big racks and racks full of long play records, and then they went to racks and racks of tapes, and then they went to racks and racks of CDs? How many of you realize you go in the store now, you can't even hardly find a CD unless you go to Rose's and it's in there for $2.99 that's been replicated by somebody? iPod. I think 400 or 500 songs on this thing right here. Yeah, it's the same. Some of it's the same music I bought years ago on CD. I just broke a CD or I lost a CD. I got long play, the vinyl. I got the big records that I had from back in the 70s, but now I've also got it on my phone. MP3, iPod. You see, it's the same thing, but it's in a different package, if you would. And we fail to release the jawbone when it's timely because it's sentimental to us and we want to hold on to it. So what happens to us is we want to fight tomorrow's battles with what we had yesterday or how we fought them yesterday. And that's not going to work. In fact, Jesus even taught us to pray. He said, pray when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What he is saying there, he's not speaking about materialistic bread, the bread that we put in our bodies, but he is talking about the measure of grace that is sufficient for do the day that we are living in. And Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, give me what I need for 2019. Jesus, give Voice of Praise what it needs for 2019. Give us the equipping, the anointing. That's what the anointing is the equipping to do what you've called us to do. It's good to remember yesterday's, last month, last year's anointing, but the equipping of yesterday was for yesterday's assignment. Today, this month, this year's assignment is different than any assignment that we've ever had before. And a fresh anointing must occur in our life if we are going to fulfill God's will. Can I say that again? A fresh anointing must occur in our lives and in our church if we're going to fulfill God's will. Ministry is changing. And listen, I know it firsthand. Been in pastoral ministry for, I think, 26 years now. Ministry is changing as fast as the hand is clicking on the clock. The jawbone that we used yesterday is not going to do it for tomorrow. Secondly, go ahead. God doesn't work the same way every time. You know, one of the greatest sins of churches, one of the greatest sins of, it's not, I guess you could call it a sin, but one of the greatest misjudgments, let me say it that way. One of the greatest misjudgments of spiritual leadership, which is pastors and preachers. One of the greatest misjudgments that we make is trying to recreate moments. Oh, if we could just get Perry Stone back like we did in the 1980s. See, where Sarah's home church, you know, Perry in the late 70s and 80s, man, tremendous meetings there. And no disrespect to Perry Stone. I think he's a great man of God. But just to think he's going to come back and you're going to recreate the revivals that Pulaski Church of God had in the 70s is foolish, but we want to try it. Oh, if we could just get, and there's probably been somebody that's been here before. If we could just get old so-and-so back. If we could get old brother so-and-so back. If we could get old brother pastor Tom Dewey back one more time. If we could get evangelist, whatever's name is. If we could get him back one more time. If we could get the prophetess, Hazel back one more time. If we could get them people back one more time. Oh, what revival we could have. Listen, we've got to stop thinking about recreating the moment. Because God doesn't work the same way every time. And we're bad. Listen to me. I'm a pastor. And she will tell you she's been, you know, since Sarah has been by my side. We have been to so many, and I've already got like 4 conferences to go to this year. I got one coming up in just 2 weeks down in Dublin that some of you would like to go with me. I'm serious. I invite you to go with me on a Tuesday. I've been through so many conferences. I've been through so many classes. I've been through so many sessions. You know, I've been through all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, it all has good. There's something that you can glean out of all of it. I think that's good. And I like to avail myself to things like that. But understand this, God doesn't work the same way all the time. And what he's doing for what he did for a pastor out in Tennessee, or what he did for a pastor in Oklahoma, or how he revitalized a church in North Carolina, is not necessarily how he's going to work here in Blue Whale. What happened at the latest youth conference I went to is not what's necessarily going to happen here. We can glean ideas, but listen to me, where we err in is we try to reproduce and we try to replicate what somebody else has done or what somebody else is doing and try to operate in that as our anointing. And listen to me, God doesn't work the same way every time. So that's our tendency. We're creatures of recreation. And we tend to try to recreate moments. And we can't do it like we did in the 70s. We can't do it like we did in the 80s. We can't do it like we did in the 90s. And we can't do it like we did in the early 2000s. But we have to equip ourselves with the anointing and the methodologies that God is going to use in 2019. In your personal life and in the church. When we look at diversity in anointings, we look at Moses had a rod, but David used 5 stones and a sling. Joshua just simply used shouts of people, voices of people, and trumpets, breaking lanterns. Samson just used his bare hand, and then he used the jawbone. Next slide. And thirdly, God will not share his glory. Let me tell you, if old Sam had been able to took that, if he could have took that jawbone and fought every other battle that came down the road to him, here's what would have happened. Samson would begin to take the credit. People would have begun to give him the credit. oh, Samson, mighty man, mighty warrior, and what a jawbone he's got. The man, that jawbone has shed the blood of thousands, perhaps millions of Philistines. And God will share His glory. And so what we have to realize is if we can get something down pat, if we can do, let me tell you something. When I learn how to do something and do it real good, I say this, take it in the stride that I'm saying it in. When I learn how to do something, I learn how to do it pretty good. I can do it, and I don't necessarily, yes, God blesses me and God keeps me, but there are things that I can do. Listen, you want to know why there's fake preachers? But there's over 600,000 people that deem themselves clergy in America right now. Some of them are crooks. Some of them are fakes. But most of them are genuine to the bone. But sometimes we have to set back. We have to set back and realize, am I allowing God to equip me what I'm doing? Am I doing it out of my own resource and my own power? And if we're doing it out of our own resources, our own power, then we don't pray. And then we don't study. And then we don't make preparation. And we don't do what we need to be doing because we got this down pat. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, man, I can preach anywhere. He said, I don't worry about preparing. God won't share His glory with us. He wouldn't share His glory with Samson. If the anointing were restricted to where our methodology of ministry is, then we would package it all up. We would put it on one of those MP3 files. We would release it on our website here at the church. If we had it all together here at Voice of Praise, if I had it all together and had all the answers on the pastor, I'd put it on the website. I'd put a Facebook ad out for $149.95. You can buy all the answers that you need in your life. $149.95. In fact, if you want to make it easy, I'll take 3 easy payments of $75 a month. And if you order in the next 20 minutes, I'll include 3 get out of hell free cards at no additional charge, just because I've got it all down. If we had it all together, if church could be put in a box, if the working of God could be put in a box and contained, then we would be out there selling it. But how often do we forget that Jehovah, Yahweh that we sang about this morning is the mysterious God. And He's mysterious because we can't figure Him out. He is not predictable. And we can't conform Him to our styles and our preferences. Listen. The jawbone of yesterday is not going to cut it today. The only thing that God is bound to is His Word and His Word alone. It's not what we did yesterday. It's not what we did in 76, 86, 96, or 2006. It's not what Mama and Grandma done. It's about what God is doing right now. So one anointing is released in order to receive the next. How many, is there anybody in this room have more than 2 hands? Billy says he does. None of us in this room that I'm aware of have more than 2 hands. When both hands are full, we're not able to do a whole lot. When one hand is full, we're restricted. Come here a minute, Heath. My man. He's always this guy, he is muscle bound. This guy right here, he's, all right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold that. Hold the jawbone. Hold the jawbone. But the new anointing says that you need to pick me up. I'm going to be the new anointing. And I want you to pick me up. But you got to use your hands. So pick me up. Pick me up. No, no, you got to use your hands. You got to use your hands.
Use my hands.
Yeah.
Pick me up.
I got. Yeah. I thought you could bench press like 300. You know. Yeah. I mean, you know. You know what? When something is in our hands, we are partially occupied. What I'm saying to you is this. God can't give you the anointing that He wants to give you for right now when you're trying to hold on to an anointing that was used in a different season and a different day, because you can't hold on to so many things at one time. So He releases the jawbone. He releases the jawbone. And go ahead, next slide. Judges 15, 18 through 19. Here's the rest of the story. Because he was very thirsty. He's dropped a jawbone now. Because he was very thirsty, he is Samson. He cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and the water came out of it, and Samson drank, and his strength returned, and he revived. Roll on. Samson came to that place. He said, "I need something else." He became to a dry place. If he had held on to that jawbone, I'm convinced in my spirit, if Samson had held on to that jawbone, he would have never moved on to the next place. If Samson had held on to that jawbone, he would not have moved in to that next level of ministry, that next place that God had for him. But he realized and he knew the jawbone was for that battle where God gave him 1,000 Philistines. He dropped the jawbone. He just threw it down, cast it on the ground, if you would. But now he said, "I'm dry, but I know there's more for me to do." And the Bible says that the cleft in the rock opened up and freshness and newness began to come out of that rock and begin to pour into the life of Samson. I don't believe that would ever happen if he had not dropped the jawbone. And if we don't drop the jawbone in our lives, if we don't drop the jawbone in our churches, if we don't drop the jawbones in our ministry, I don't believe we will ever come to that place where we say, "Lord, I need you to open up the cleft of the rock and pour out a freshness and a newness on me that I've never had before," because there's much left to be done. Listen, attempting to retain the jawbone will hinder us to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in us now. Remember, Moses had to die before Joshua could ever lead the Israelites into the new season that they called Canaan land. And the jawbone, we must release the jawbones in our life. We must put them aside and realize it's a new day and it's a new dawning. I asked Miss Pam if they knew this song, and unfortunately they didn't. This is a song that Israel Houghton wrote a number of years back. And in this song, it says, "It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing is flowing my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new day." You see, you need a fresh season. I need a fresh season. Did we get a music video of that loaded, Dave? Didn't load? Okay. It's a new season. Now, I don't know that a turn of a calendar matters a whole lot to God, because He's eternal. He's probably not watching the ball drop in New York City tomorrow night, okay? But it is a new season for us. And it does mark a new time for us. And the new year for us is typically a time of new beginning. And if we're going to follow into a new beginning, we need to drop the jawbone that even brought us the victories of the past. That means a whole lot to me, preacher. I mean, that's precious. That's precious to me. That means so much to me. You know? I don't say... What happened? Oh, here they are. Right here. Donated by Kathy Messina. Kathy, if you're watching, bless your heart. Thank you for the pew. Well, Lord, Pastor, we can't take those pews out. Why, Kathy Messina bought that front pew. Yeah, but we don't put theatrical seating in the whole church. That has no spiritual emphasis. It's just a good illustration to use. Yeah, but Kathy bought that pew. We just can't take a plaque off. We can't take it. Lord, if you saw Mike Dillon and me cut that one pew in two with that sawzall, you would have just really had a fit. You know, it was split, though. It was split. It was split. Wasn't it, Mike? Testify, Mike. It was split. It was broke. That sawzall, man, it did good until we got in them springs and them cushions, and then that thing started, you know. But you know what? It's a new season. It's a new day. Whitney, you guys will go on back up. And I know we sort of already had an altar call, but I want to end our service with this morning. I don't want to carry the jawbone of 1965. I don't want to carry the jawbone of 1975, 1985, 1995, 2005, 2010, 2018. I don't want to carry the jawbone of the past with me into what God has for us to do in 2019. But I want to go in and say, God, I'm dry. I need a drink of water out of the rock. I think it was Einstein that said that Einstein said that the definition of insanity is keep doing the same things over and over and over and expecting different results. You can keep doing what you've been doing over and over and over, but don't expect different results. We as a church can keep doing the same thing over and over and over, but we need not expect different results. But when we move into a new season and we move into a new day and we say, God, I want your new anointing. I want your new freshness. I don't want to do Christianity as usual, and I don't want us to do church as usual. But I want us to move into 2019 as believers and as a church. I want us to move into 2019 saying, I've thrown down the jawbone of the donkey and I'm ready to drink the water out of the rock. And you know what? When it came down, we know the story of Samson, how he fell so miserably and his eyes were plucked out and he was put like a pack mule, grinding meal. And as Samson was grinding meal, his hair began to grow back. And that's not necessarily the important thing, because there was really no power per se in his hair. But his hair began to grow back and he was wounded. He was blinded. He was a man. He was a frail man now. He was a broken man. But you know what? There was a fresh anointing that came on him. And I tell you what, if that don't make a hair stand up on your head like it is mine right now, I don't know what's going on. But he said, put my hand, and the anointing came through that little boy. And I could see Samson say, run, son, because I'm about to release something like I ain't never released before. And he began to shake the pillars of that Colosseum. And 3,000 Philistines on that day were destroyed along with Samson. But God took a freshness to do it. God put a freshness in his life in every occurrence that we read about. And a man that was plagued with difficulties, a man that was plagued with problems, a man that was plagued with failures and shortfalls, died one of the heroes of Scripture. But he had to throw down the jawbone of the donkey. He couldn't carry it with him all the way. Voice of praise. You as individuals, are you ready to throw your jawbone down? That's not going to be easy. Every once in a while, I'll get a pair of shoes that I say I'm going to throw away. You know where they end up at? Out in the garage. They don't really get thrown away. They're out in the garage just in case I need them. You know, an old pair of tennis shoes and the soles don't feel like, you know, wrapped up tape around them and say, well, just in case I need it, it's a real muddy day or something, I'll have them. You know, my wife bought me some new socks for Christmas. And somebody say, praise the Lord. You know, God, look at that. I mean, I got some, look, see, right here, I got stripes on them and everything. Look at that. She got me some new socks for Christmas. Went in there to my sock drawer the other day. I said, where's all my socks? She said, they're in the trash. They're not anymore. What'd you throw my socks in the trash for? She said, they were threadbare and they had holes in them. I said, that's some of the best Harley polishing cloths that you can get anywhere. Them things work good polishing the spoke wheels on the Harley. Some of them may end up back in my drawer. Sometimes casting aside what we've been so used to is hard. But if we will let go of it, then it will give us the option or give us the circumstances where something new can begin to work in our lives and in our church. So this is what I want to ask you to do. I know we've already been up here one time, and that's okay. You can't come to prayer too many times. But this is what I want you to do with me right now. First off, I want you to bow your head. If you're in this room this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this room this morning and you've never been saved, if you never called on the name of the Lord Jesus and asked Him to forgive you of your sin and believe on Him that Christ, being born of a virgin, lived and died, was buried, and then resurrected. If you've never believed on Him as your Savior, right now is a great time. And if you're in this room and that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Pastor, I need to be saved. Is there anybody at all? Is there anybody in this room that says, I need to rededicate my life, Pastor? I'm saved, but I feel like I've strayed far away. Is that you? Anybody at all? Thank you. Anyone else? And this is what I want to ask you to do right now. If you're ready to throw down the jawbone of the donkey, if you're really ready to release it, I want you to come and I want you to join me. And we're going to come together in corporate prayer as we dismiss this last service of 2018. So if you can and you will and you're sincere, I'm willing to cast aside the jawbone.